Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for being with me. I am so excited, as I always am, to bring forth a message from God, not a message from Coach D, but a message from God. And I just pray that he will use me as I continue to die to this flesh, die to the earthly desires, and just allow the Lord to come in and use me as he sees fit. I'm excited to hear the word that he has for us on tonight. And I believe he wants me to go a little deeper. This past Monday, I was a guest on Motivational Monday with Coach Adams, and it was a blessing. And the direction of the show was to talk about something specific, and I'm going to be speaking on that again tonight. I want to share with my listening audience what was shared with her listening audience. For some of you, you did tune in to that show on Monday night, and for many of you, you did not. So I want to discuss or talk about the same subject matter that we talked about on Monday night. It may not come the same way. God may have a different way of delivering it on tonight, but nevertheless, it will be delivered. Amen. So again, I want to thank you all for joining me. I want to encourage you to make sure, if you have not already done so, to purchase the book, Processing the Pain. I'm getting a lot of great reviews on the book. It's an easy read is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that it's causing people, it's provoking people to thought. It's provoking them to thought. They're having to think, and they're having to really be still before the presence of God and figure out what are those things that they've been holding on to from childhood. What are those things that they're holding on to in their adult life that's keeping them stagnant, that's keeping them from moving forward in the things that God has planned for their lives. And so, again, it's Processing the Pain. And you can get it on Amazon. It is live on Amazon now, so you could purchase it on Amazon. If you don't know how to use a computer and you're just not quite sure how to navigate, please feel free to email me at mcdnetworkinc@gmail.com. That's mcdnetworkinc@gmail.com. Feel free to email me, and I will make sure that we work to get you a book purchased. So again, let's just get into it. First, I want to go before the Lord in prayer to just cast out any heavy weight, any events of the day that has gotten us scrambled and stressed out and pulled in different directions. Father God, we just come before your throne, Lord Jesus. I thank you, and I give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, for truly you are worthy, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for another gift of life. Father, that you woke us up this morning, Father, because you didn't have to. There are so many that did not see daylight today. And Father God, we just thank you that by your grace and mercy, we were allowed to see another day, Father God. We had another opportunity, Father, to get it right. So, Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you that your grace is sufficient and that your mercies are new each day. So, Lord, we just pray that you will be with us as we journey into your word. We pray for your spirit, Father God, your revelation knowledge. We pray for your anointing, your very presence, Father, that breaks every yoke of bondage. Father God, I pray that bondage will be broken on tonight, Father. I pray that each and every person listening in, whether they're live in the studio or they're listening in through the internet, Father God, that at the vibration, the sound of your words on tonight, Father, that they will begin to experience that deliverance, that transformation, that transition, Father God. So, Lord, we just thank you for your word on tonight. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, Father God. And we just thank you that we will receive the rhema word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of things. If I have a bad connection and you cannot hear me well, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That will let me know that perhaps my connection is not that great. So I'm going to get started. And where I want to start, I was a guest on a show on Monday called Motivational Monday with Coach Shania Adams. Really good family. She's like family. She's my sister in Christ. Been knowing her for a few decades. And so it was just very interesting how the Holy Spirit moved. And so you know what I thought? I thought I wanted to share that with my listening audience. So I'm going to get into that. But before I get into that, there's a scripture that I want to take us to. And I'm going to be taking us to Psalms 139. And I was going to just read a certain portion of it. But what I think I want to do is
is, let me see how long it is. It is.
Well, it is 24 verses. 24 verses, but I want to read them. And I'm not reading out of the message book. I don't read out of the message often. But tonight I want to read out of the message because I want to break it down in layman terms. I want you to get it. I want you to hear it. I want you to taste it. I want you to get it. And then what I would encourage you to do is go, after you get it on tonight, I would encourage you to go back to your Bible, to King James, and read it again in the King James Version. Again, I just want to make sure that you get it, and that's why I'm coming from the message. And then we'll get into the rest of what we're going to get into tonight. I have something pretty exciting for you tonight because it's not often that I do an insert out of my book, Processing the Pain. But on tonight, I will be doing an insert out of that, and I believe it will bless you. So, again, we're going Psalm chapter 139. And I'm going to start at verse 1. And I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. So bear with me. This is the time that most people want to get distracted and see what's in the oven and pick their nails. But I'm just going to encourage you to follow along. Listen. Sit with your eyes closed and just listen to the words and let the and begin to let the words just minister to your heart. Meditate on what's been said on tonight. Psalms 139, and I'm reading from the message. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence, coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on the morning's wing to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there, waiting. Then I said to myself, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Oh, yes, you shape me from inside, then out. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit, how I was sculptured from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I even lived one day. I want to say that again. The days of your life all prepared before you even lived one day. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful. God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sand of the sea. Oh, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. And please, God, do away with wickedness for good. And you murderers out here, all the men and women who belittle you, God, infatuated with cheap God imitation, see how I hate those who hate God. See how I loathe all this godless arrogance. I hate it with pure, unadulterated hatred. Your enemies are my enemies. Investigate my life, oh God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life.
Wow, that was Psalms 139, and that's just the leeway to where we're going on tonight. Basically, in short, it sounds like in this that God knows us. He knew us before we were formed. He knew us when we was before we was even in our mother's womb. He know everything we're thinking. He know the choices we're going to make even before we know ourselves. So he knows us. He created us. He created us in his image. He knows when we're falling short. He knows when we're thriving. He knows everything. And oftentimes we act like God don't know. We act like he don't know what we're going through. We act like he don't know what we're struggling with. We act like he don't know, but he knows everything. And that's going to bring me to chapter 2 in my book. If you've gotten a book and you read it, you know that my book only has 3 chapters. The pain, the purpose, and the promise. It only has 3 chapters, and I did that on purpose because I want those chapters to be, they're broken down in sub-chapters. I didn't want to get lose concentration on having all these different chapters. I only wanted to deal with the pain, the purpose, and the promise. So tonight I'm going to take you to the purpose, and that's chapter 2. And I want to share something with you, and it kind of goes hand in hand with Psalms 139. So I'm going to take you to, and I'm going to be reading the insert out of my book tonight, and I pray that it captures your attention, that it ministers to your spirit, and that perhaps if you have not already gotten your book, you'll get it. Not because I need to sell books. I don't need to sell books. This is not my primary income. Doing processing the pain provides no income for me. So I'm not doing it because I'm looking to get rich. I'm not doing it searching for fortune and fame. I'm doing it because I want to be obedient. I want to be obedient to the will of God. I want to be obedient when God says do, I want to do. When God says don't do, I don't want to do. I don't want to just do traditional religious rituals anymore. I'm done with the traditional religious rituals. But I want to be obedient to God. And that's why I do Thursday nights. That's why I completed this book. If you knew the pain that it took to produce this book, then you would understand that this was simply the only thing that could have pushed me to completing this book was the Spirit of God and my desire to want to be obedient, because nothing else would have pushed me to do this book. This book came with a lot of pain. So I'm going to take you to chapter 2, and I'm going to read the insert out of my book, and you'll see if you've been listening in as I read Psalms 139, the whole chapter, you'll see where it connects. But we're going to get into it. So I'm telling you, bear with me. There's a foundation being laid here, and you will understand shortly. There will be revelation knowledge. Amen. So let's go to chapter 2, and it's entitled The Purpose. Purpose. Purpose is defined as the reason something exists intentionally. I will take it a step further and define it as the intentional plan of God, IPG. You may ask or have often asked, what is my purpose? Perhaps you've muttered, I don't have a purpose. Well, rest assured, everyone has a purpose. Many of us go through life never stepping into purpose because we really do not know what that looks like. We may wonder, is my purpose big? Is it small, rich, or poor, here or there? Mentally, we conclude, I don't know, so I don't do. Again, in that place, we find ourselves stagnant. In processing my pain, I then must cross the purpose bridge and transition, wondering, what is it? What does it look like, feel like? How do I know when I got it? How do I know when I got purpose? As I was studying one morning, doing a 3-day sabbatical, denying my flesh in an act of desperation to step into the promises of God, I was led to a scripture that I was very familiar with. However, this day it held the answer that most of us spend a lifetime wondering about. The ancient question, what is my purpose? I found it interesting in the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter, verse 17, when Jesus not once not twice, but three times, ask the question. 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. Love you, Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Could this possibly mean that God's purpose for our lives as believers is simplistic? Is it simply, if we love him, then feed his people? The resources, tools, and techniques that we use to get it done is God's gift and talents that he has given us. But the purpose is Jesus, bringing people into the knowledge of the gospel so that God gets the glory. This makes purpose so less complicated, easy to step into and fulfill. I have often said that if we take care of God's business, God will take care of our business. I have read some dynamic books about purpose, and yes, I get the definition of purpose to the letter. But by the Spirit, I believe that the purpose has and will always be Jesus. Again, that is an insert from Processing the Pain, Chapter 2. And I won't go any further. You'll have to get the book. But tonight, we're going to talk about the intentional plan of God. You know, we often go through life and we make plans and we set goals and we prepare and put away for the future. And a lot of times I just don't think that we really connect to understand and believe that God is very intentional. He was intentional about our lives. He was intentional when he created us. Everything was intentional, as we found out in Psalms 139. And it's intentional. God is intentional about his children. And when he created us, he already knew. It said in Psalm 139 that he already knew. He formed us. He knew us in our mother's womb. He knows what we're thinking. He knows the choices we're going to make. He knows everything. He knows everything. And because he knows everything, don't you know that he knows the pains that we will go through? He knows the pain specifically to Coach D, that he knows the pain specifically to you. He's no respecter of person, so he knows the pains. And even though the pain to us may seem like the worst thing, the thing we can't even imagine, a death of a loved one, losing a job, those are things that as a human we find very difficult to deal with. We find them hard and it's painful, and we don't never think we're going to get past the pain. But don't you know that God told us that he knows every detail of our lives, that he planned out our every detail. And so if he planned out every detail, he knows every detail of our lives, then surely he knows the pains that you went through, the pains that you are going through, and the pains that you will go through. So what we have to now do is we got to start determining and we got to start spending time with God, because what we have to now do is we have to process where we're going to place pain. Where is pain going to fall in our life as it pertains to our priority level? You know, is pain going to be something that we hold on to forever? Is pain going to be something that we're going to process through and look at it as a life experience and grow from it? Some people get over pain quickly. Some people have a high tolerance for pain, while others of us just hold on to pain, and pain will drag us through, in and out through life. I guarantee you, and this, you got to hear with your spirit. I guarantee you that most mental illness is connected to some form of unprocessed pain. And this doesn't speak anything against mental illness, because I know mental illness is real. I know that there are people that deal with mental illness. But we weren't, but many of us were not born. Now you do have some births that have some things to do with with mental illness. But most of us wasn't born with mental illness. It was something that was derived through our life. You know, some trauma, some pain that we dealt with that was unbearable, that we didn't know how to process, and it created in us depression. It created in us anxiety. It created in us isolation and shutdown. And that's not where God wants us to be. Am I saying that it's easy? Absolutely not. But what I'm saying is that it was never God's intention, according to Psalms 139, when he was forming us, it was never his intention for us to live in pain. It was never his intention for us to be stagnant and paralyzed by the pain that we would go through. And I don't think any of us could have went through as much pain as Jesus went through during the crucifixion. I mean, that was a physical pain. We know, obviously, that it was a physical pain. But what about the mental and emotional pain of it all? Do you think just because he was Jesus? You remember, he was sent down here in the form of flesh. He was just like you and I, in the form of flesh. But he was obedient. He was obedient. He mastered the flesh. The flesh didn't master him. But can you imagine still yet in his obedience, in him understanding his purpose? We know that he was human because in the Garden of Gethsemane, it said that he sweated blood. His sweat was so intense that it was like drops of blood. So that says that he was worried. That says that he was human. He was having a human experience. So can you imagine the emotions, you know, not just as simple as the pain, but to have, what can you imagine that kind of rejection? Can you imagine that kind of rejection, the rejection we feel when we get mad at family members or because somebody didn't invite us to the party, because somebody didn't want to spend time with us and we feel rejected? Now just multiply that by a million. Can you imagine the rejection he felt while he's walking and he's being ridiculed and he's being antagonized and he's been spit on and he's, you know, been called out of his name? And not only is he being mentally and emotionally attacked, he's getting these attacks all while he has to endure a physical attack. So God knows our pain. He knows it. And again, he did not plan on us to live in pain. He did not plan on us to stay. And that's really what these shows are about. That's what processing the pain is about. That's what the book is about. It's about all of us helping ourselves, helping one another to process through the pain, because we were never meant to stay there. And when we make a choice, whether consciously or unconsciously, to stay in a state of pain, we are setting ourselves up. We are setting ourselves up for mental illness, depression, and anxiety. And we can't afford to do that. Why? Why, Coach D? Because I just don't feel like going any further. I don't feel like taking the next step. I don't want to be happy. I don't want to be joyful. I don't feel like smiling. But guess what? You can't stay there. Because if you stay there, you're risking not partaking in the promises of God. And depending on how deep you are stuck in pain, you can miss some other things too. You can miss out on a lot of things. And so we cannot stay. We can't afford to stay in attitude of pain. We cannot afford to stay in the hurts of pain. We have to progress, and we have to move past that pain. Because guess what? You only have a certain level of capacity. We're humans. We only have a certain level of capacity. And so when we don't let go of the pains of our past, we're going to receive some more pain in our present. I'm going to say that again. When we don't let go, we got to let go of the pains in the past, because when we don't, then we're going to receive pains in the present. So now you got pains of the past. You got pains in the present. You don't have the capacity to hold that much pain. And when you hold that much pain, then guess what results of it? Sickness. Sickness, disease, and disorder. Not just mental illness, but physical. Because we were not built to have that, to hold that capacity of pain. Because the goal was, we were supposed to process through it. You have the pain, you take the time, you process through it, and you move on. You have the pain, you take the time, you process through it, and you move on. See, we're supposed to constantly keep moving on. We're supposed to constantly keep processing through the pain so we can get to the next level. And life is a bunch of levels. You go from glory, you know, let's go from glory to glory. It's a bunch of levels. So we got to go through this in order to get through this, in order to get through this so we can get to this. And when you get stuck back there, you know, there are people that's 30, 40 years old that's still stuck. They still have the mentality of a 12-year-old or a 10-year-old because they face trauma that they didn't know, they either don't know how, they didn't practice. So they're still stuck. Haven't you seen people that act in a certain behavior and you'd be like, man, they're childish. 30, 40 years old and they still have to be the center of attraction. They still have a me attitude. It's all about me. And we look at those people and we give them tag names. We give them names like narcissistic. We give them names like manic depressive. We give them, you know, we give them names like bipolar. We give them names like ADHD, HD, ALDS, and we give them initials. So we start giving them all these tags. And the reality of it is, in most cases, that they couldn't let go of the pain that they've had to get into the present. Because that's what, the present has enough pains of itself. And the Word of God tells us that. Let me see. Right now, we're going to go over there where the Word of God tells us. Let me just pull it up really quickly here. Okay, we're going to go over to Matthew. We're going to go over to Matthew 6 and 34. If you think Coach D is just talking, it's scripture. It's scripture. Matthew 6 and 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the future. For tomorrow will worry about itself. So we can't worry about what's ahead, but we can't keep worrying about what's behind either. We got to deal with now. We serve a now God. We need to deal with now. The pains of now. What are we dealing with now? Let's process through them, because we're holding on in the past. But it says each day has enough troubles of his own. That's the Word of God. That's not going to be Matthew 6. It says each day has enough troubles of his own. We ain't got time to be worried about the past, and we don't really have time to be worried about the future. We need to be worried about right now, because right now got enough problems of itself. And if I'm going to have problems right now and still hold on to the problems of the past, guess what? I don't have the capacity. I don't have the capacity to do that. And when we start doing that again, we're getting into some other things. People's having nervous breakdown. Why? Because they're trying to bring the past into the now. And they don't have the capacity. And even in that, if we're not careful, we'll start trying to do the same thing that we did in the past in the now. And that's been defined as insanity. And insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results. If we're not careful, we will still be trying to handle things the same way at 40 that we were trying to handle at 14. And that's insanity. Don't you think it's kind of crazy for a 40-year-old to be making decisions that a 14-year-old would make? We call people like that crazy. We call people like that crazy. So we can't risk insanity. We can't risk doing the same thing and expecting different results. We cannot risk, and we cannot afford staying in our past and holding on to our past and trying to bring it into our present. We can't afford to do that. But yet we do it. Many of us do it. And we're stuck. And we're wondering why I'm depressed. Why am I dealing with this addiction? Why am I dealing with this, whatever the thing is? And we're dealing with it because we can't let go of the past. We cannot let go of the past. And the word of God is telling us in Matthew 6:34, therefore don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. It is the 34th and final verse of the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament. And, you know, God has more. I could go on scripture after scripture where he's telling us to not worry. Because worry then is another form of not trusting him. Do we trust him? If we go back to Psalms 139 and we know that he designed everything. He designed me. He created me. He knows everything about me. And yet, I can't trust him with the day-to-day? Can't trust him with the day-to-day. And he knows everything about me. He created me. I want to go back to Psalms 139 because I want us to get it tonight. I don't want this to just be another preaching session. Ain't we tired? And I know that's not proper English. But aren't we tired of just doing the same thing and getting the same results? Aren't we tired of being stressed out and mentally drained? Aren't we tired of people putting tags on us or she's depressed? He's bipolar, he's schizophrenic, he's manic depressive. I'm not saying that those things are not real. Because to him who believe it is, to him who believe it is, if you believe it, it is. But aren't we tired of it? I know I'm tired of it, and I am not going to let nobody diagnose me with none of that. I'm just not going to let nobody diagnose me. I'm going to just keep processing through the pain. And I'm not knocking nobody. If you are dealing with some of those things, this is no disrespect to you at all. It's real. Life is real. I'm not disrespecting nobody. I'm not telling you to get off your medication. I'm not telling you to do anything different. But what I'm just telling you to do is just get closer to God. Just get closer to God and let him begin to minister to you. And if it's the will of God, which I believe it is, then he will take you through the proper steps of healing, and he will take you through the proper steps of deliverance so that you don't have to be held hostage to the diagnosis. Amen. You don't have to be held hostage to the diagnosis, but you could be set free in Jesus' name. Set free. Set free. And I'm speaking right now, as I just was saying that dropped in my spirit, I'm speaking right now to the suicidal spirit in the name of Jesus. And I demanded in the name of Jesus to be loose, because the word of God tells us what we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And I loose and bind the spirit of suicide. I rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. 139 tells us, you know, in verse 7, it says, is there any place that we could go to avoid the spirit of God? Is there any place? If there's no place we could go, he knows us. He knows us. He's with us. He shaped us firsthand. In and out, he formed us. And when you know, we could read scriptures and we read them and we've gotten used to them. We could quote them by heart and we hear, but do we really, really just listen to what it's saying? Did we really listen to what this is saying? I don't know about you guys. I mean, I could think of times in my life where I'm thinking that, you know, I'm not realizing that if I'm hiding something, if I'm being discreet about something, it's only fooling. It ain't fooling God. I may even be fooling myself, and maybe I'm fooling some of the people, but I'm not fooling God because he already knows. And I'm glad he knows me. I'm glad that he knows me, and he knows what I'm going to do, and he knows exactly how I'm going to do it, and he knows if I'm going to be obedient, and he knows if I'm going to be disciplined. He knows the set. He knows the decision. And I'm so glad that he knows me. It comforts me to know that he knows me, because he knows me better than I know myself, and sometimes I just don't know myself. I don't know what my capacity is. I don't know what, sometimes I'm not even sure what I'm capable of doing, but God is. And I love the fact that he loves us that much, his creation, that he loves us that much, that he knows us and he hears our heart. It's not a whole lot we got to speak. He already knows. He knows our thoughts. He knows our thoughts. And so, again, when we realize that our lives have been designed by him, when we realize that everything that we go through has its purpose, when we realize that he's working all things together for our good, when we realize that nothing gets past him, when we realize that he's already meeting all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, when we realize that he loves us, when we realize all these things, then when we go through the life's pain, we then understand IPG, the intentional plan of God. We understand that. And when we begin to understand that, the pains don't linger on. Because why? Because if you know that it's God's intentional plan, you know, that he has a plan for our lives, that even the pain has a purpose, then we start walking. We start walking and that's it. Okay, I'm going through something right now. I'm going through right now. Does it hurt? Yeah. Does it, knowing that it's the intentional plan, knowing that God has a plan, does it make it any more comforting? No. But it just helps me to be able to get through it. Why? Because I know that God is the author and the finisher of my faith. I know that he, at the end, he's going to have the final say. And I also know that can't nothing come against me that he don't allow. And when you start knowing that, you start just getting through some stuff. It ain't even worth holding on to no more. Because now we start finding out that it's the pain. Yeah, it's pain, but it's not that serious. And I'm not taking away nobody's pain. If that's your pain, hold on. If you want to hold on to, hold on. But I'm telling you, we start looking at pain differently, and we'll go through some stuff and shake it off and keep on pushing. I cannot afford to hold on to pain. I need to shake it off. Why? Because I'm trying to be living in the promises of God. And what are the promises of God? Promises of God, he promised us health. He promises a sound mind. He promises not to have a spirit of fear. He promises us that every need is going to be met. He promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He promised us 120 years. So there's a lot of promises with God, but then also understanding the promises, you have to understand the conditions. And one of the conditions is you got to process through the pain. Because you can't stay in the past. Because forgiveness is one of the main functions of being able to participate in the promises. So you can't stay back there. And when you realize that, you start realizing some stuff is not worth it. That, you know, that old, that person who did you wrong, it ain't worth holding on to that no more. You start learning to forgive really quickly. And I have to honestly say in my life, when I really sit back and think about people who have hurt me, and I have to sit back and think, and when I think about people who have hurt me, you kind of know when you really haven't forgave them that have hurt you. When you think about them, it brings up some old feelings. It brings up some negative emotions. And so when you can start talking about or think about these people who have hurt you, and when you think about them, there's no lingering. There's nothing that says, ooh, I don't like this person. Ooh, this person did me wrong. Or, oh, my God, I can't take that person. No, you start just feeling like, you know, blessing, peace and blessing. But I'm going to move on to the next phase. Peace and blessings. Have a good life. I done moved on to the next phase. And that's the way you feel. I have had people more of late, when I think about the last maybe 10 years of my life, people that came in and hurt me. And, yeah, for the moment, for the season, it hurt. For the season, I rehearsed it. And you had to, I did a show a few weeks ago called Don't Give Pain a Platform. And what that basically meant is you can't keep rehearsing what happened, because if you keep rehearsing in your mind what happened, then what you're doing is allowing pain to live. You're giving it a platform to live. And so you can't just keep rehearsing what happened. And so I've learned, and I would say in the last 10 years, that people that have hurt me or done something wrong to me, I dealt with it then. And then once I made a decision to forgive, I forgave. Do I still maybe associate with the people? No. Do I still go around the people? No. But it's not out of a place of malicious. If I came across the person, I would have no problem, you know, saying hello and how are you. And even my father would be able to tell them I love them. No regret, no anger. I processed through it and I moved on. Because why? Because we're trying to live in the promises of God. And you can't be living in the promises of God and be lined up with God when you're still holding on to the pain of the past. And that's the truth. I was sharing with someone the other day. We were talking, and I said, you know, and this is true. A lot of us struggle in our Christian walk. We struggle. We do a lot of backsliding, and, you know, one day we're woo-hoo, and the next day, you know, we struggle a lot. And the part, some of that part of that struggle is because it's almost impossible to get into a full alignment with God if you're so caught up in pain. Because when you're caught up in pain, it totally occupies you. You don't have enough time, you don't have enough room to do nothing else but just think about this pain. And so if I'm so consumed with pain and what happened, because you've got to keep rehearsing what happened in order to hold on to the pain. So if my whole mind is about, oh, they did me wrong, or oh, they did me wrong, or they didn't do this, and this wasn't fair, and why this didn't happen like this, and they should have did this. And so you said, so you're cognizant, I remember that day. So if I'm so busy remembering the pains of the past, that pain, then I can't even focus on God in the now. I can't have a prayer life. Jesus. Can't have a prayer life. Not going to have a prayer life. Why? Because I'm too consumed. Got too much on my mind. And there used to be an old sofa. It was an old song. They used to say, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's the truth. We don't have time to keep our mind stayed on Jesus when our mind is stayed on everything else. The blame game. How somebody did this. How my job did that. You're stuck. And you got to shake that stuff. How this person did this when I was 13, this person did this, this, and this to me. And that person, and that person has been set free. They either didn't, they didn't either went to God for forgiveness, and they didn't got set free. And some of them people been dead 20, 30, 40 years, and we still walking around with the pain of it all. But they dead. They gone. And we still holding on. It's not a great place to be. It's not a great place to be. Father God, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, you've forgiven us for all of our sins. And Father, we failed you over and over and over. We failed you 70 times 7, 7 times 70, Father God. And yet you still have forgiven us. And Father God, we just pray on tonight that you could give us that same forgiveness in our hearts, Father God, that you would give us a spirit of forgiveness, that we could forgive those who have offended us, Father, that we could forgive those who trespassed against us, Father God, that we could forgive those who have caused us pain and suffering, Father God, so that we could see your glory. And Father God, more important, that you, that as we forgive others, Lord, that that shows the love of your forgiveness for us. So, Father God, help us and guide us and just give us the capacity to be able to let go of the pains of the past. Father, that we could live in the now because you are a now God. And according to Hebrews 11:1, you said, now faith. Now faith. And, Father God, we want that now faith so that we could walk in your obedience, that we could walk in your discipline, that we could walk in your love, that we could walk in your labor, that we could walk in you, Father God, and you in us. For greater are you in us than all the cares, all the pain, all the past, all the future. Greater are you in us than all of that that's in the world. And Father, we just say thank you. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight for this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that something was said that touched your heartstrings, that provoked you to thought, so that you could begin to think about, is it worth it? Is it worth it to live in the past? Or are you ready to move into your now? And I just pray that that word bless you. And again, if you have not, I read an insert from my book on tonight, chapter 2, ITG, the Intentional Plan of God. If you have not got your book, it is a short, easy read. It is so easy. And I encourage you to get the book. Read it. Read it. Maybe you might not like it. Maybe you might not, but what happens if you love it and it's life-changing for you? What happens if you read it and it begins to minister to those broken pieces inside of you? What happens if you read it and your life begins to transform? What happens if you read it and you begin to experience the abundance of God? Remember he said he gave us life and life more abundantly. You can't live an abundant life if you're broken and weighed down by pain. And many of us are operating in pain, and we don't know it, you know? And we're making life decisions. We're making life decisions or lacking making life decisions because we got some pains of the past. And we'll bring those pains into new jobs. We'll bring them into relationships. We'll bring them into our finances. We will. And we'll keep making the same mistakes over and over because we're still holding on. So I just say, I pray that you get clarity. I pray that you get deliverance. I pray that you're able to move on in life and just really be able to not operate it. Why am I saying this? Because, you know, people can't preach about, people can't teach about, people can't talk about what they don't know. We really can't. You know, we just cannot talk about it. You know, we could read 1,000 books. Okay. But until you became a parent, you can't tell somebody else how to parent. I could read 1,000 books on weight loss. But if I'm struggling with losing weight, I can't tell somebody else how to lose weight. This book, Processing the Pain, I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you from a lot of times some of this stuff that I'm telling you is coming from a place of pain that me, myself, had to deal with, that I had to process through, that I had to get over. And sometimes it wasn't easy. Sometimes I had to keep going back to get over it. So I'm telling you about something I know, and it needs to be released. Pain needs to be released. So anyway, I'm going to stop preaching. On that note, I'm going to say thank you all for joining. I love you. I appreciate you. And I just thank you for all your support. I look forward to being with you next Thursday, which will be the first Thursday in May. And I know that we have a few things coming up, but I am excited. And again, you could get the book on Amazon. And I look forward to being with you next week. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. Good night.
surrender.